Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
God showed me how nasty and ugly I was. So it's not about being good, but it's about accepting what Jesus already did on the cross. Amen. And I just want to thank New Creation Christian Center. I want to thank Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, my brother Pastor Marquise, and his wife Precious. Great people in my life. I mean, along with my pastors have really poured into me and helped me to mature in the things of God. As far as my brother, he's younger than me, but I look up to him in a lot of ways. He's very wise beyond his years, and I thank his parents for, and this is the importance of training your child up in the way that he or she should go. And man, I mean, nobody's perfect, but I'm just saying, he stood for God his whole life, and it's evident. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we have conversations, and man, he just give me what I need at that moment. I just want to pray real quick. Father God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for being a sweet and precious God. I thank you, God, for a relationship with you. Thank you that I could call on your name. Thank you that I have the opportunity to seek your face and to be able to give the people a word, Father God. And I just thank you that you trust me enough to be in front of people that you believe in me with the gifts that you have put inside of me and the leadership abilities, Father God, that I would be able to speak and people would be transformed, Father God. And I just thank you for your word, for it says that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I just pray for open hearts tonight, open minds, open ears, Father God. I just pray that you would penetrate those walls that my wife was talking about, those Jericho walls, Father God, that are built up so high that it's hard to get in at times. But Father God, there's something about your love that has the ability to get into the cracks and pierce that thing, Father God, and get to the heart so that you can show it true love. And I just give you praise, honor, and glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody ever been pregnant with anything? I know there's some women, they've been pregnant with some babies, but spiritually, I'm just talking about being full. I feel full tonight. I'm just fired up in God. I'm so thankful for the conference. Last night, it really stirred me up. And I just been listening to the Spirit of the Lord just speaking as things have been taking place. And it's so awesome how God can take the same topic, the life of a warrior, and he can speak to each one of these individuals in a different way about the same topic so that you're constantly being fed, that you're not getting the same thing every night, but you're getting fresh manna every night. And that's why you want to be there, because when you have these type of events, you don't want to miss out, because it's like, man, you never know what God's going to give out on that night. And so I'm just so excited to have the opportunity to pour into people. I was telling my brother Richard last night, and I've been hearing people talk about use your gifts, use your gifts, use your gifts. And I told Richard last night, I was like, man, when I was sitting there and I was listening to Bishop Ivory and listening to you speak, man, I was just so excited on the inside. And I used to be a professional football player, and because of injury, I stopped. I couldn't play. I had to make a choice. It's one of the hardest choices I ever had to make in my life, because football was who I used to be. See, I had to learn that I'm a man of God, and football was what I did. It wasn't who I was, but my identity was wrapped up in what I used to do. And so I was telling Richard, I've been struggling like with what is it, God, that I'm called to do now? Because all I ever wanted to do in my life was play football, and that season has passed. But God, I'm still that passionate guy. I'm still fired up. I'm still strong. I'm still energetic. What is it that you want me to do? And many times when you pray, like if I pray, I pray for other people and I pray to get a word and I hear God like that, just bam. But many times when I pray about things for myself, I don't hear nothing right away. Anybody ever been there by a show of hands? It's just like, man, it's real quiet right now. And God, I need you to tell me something about me. You know what I'm saying? But when I was watching them speak, and the joy that I was feeling, I felt like I was going to explode inside. That's how much, man, I just wanted to jump up. You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is who I am. You know what I'm saying? I give myself to God, and he can use me however he wants. But that's what I'm supposed to do with my life, is use my gift for him. And so I want to continue with what's being said, because I believe that is very relevant. Because if you're not using what God has put inside of you, then you're not experiencing the fullness of this life. See, we're not waiting to get to heaven before we begin to live. We're going to go there. Amen. But God, he died so that we can have abundant life right now. And so I just want to encourage you to stir up that thing. It's not insignificant. It's not small. It's a major thing. It could change. If it could change one person's life, I want to tell you a little story I heard today. I was at a funeral today for one of our cousins, and this man, he got up. My cousin, he was in the local 46. He was a electrician, and there was a lot of people at the funeral, and all these people had all these good things to say about, man, all these things he did to help women get in the union and to stand up for, you know, them being paid right and to stand up for doing the jobs right and just a whole bunch of things. But this man told the story. He said, you know, there was a little boy on the beach, and there was a man who walked up to the little boy on the beach, and the tide had went out, and it was just hundreds and thousands of starfish just lined up on the beach. And so the little boy was just picking up the starfish and throwing them in the water. Picking them up, throwing them in the water. And the man came up to him and he said, little boy, you know, what's the point in throwing them in the water? Like, look at how many there is. You're not going to make a dent in how, you know, this beach is looking, because there's so many. And so the little boy picked up another one, because the guy was like, it won't even really matter, you know, as much as you try. And the little boy picked up another one and he threw it. And he said, you know what? It mattered to that one. And so what I want to tell you about your gift is, your gift, if it matters to one, man, that is major, especially when you're talking about the things of God. Like, man, I believe, and this is just the Holy Spirit moving through me, but I believe that, you know, we have such big dreams, and that's great, but sometimes being overly focused on something too big without focusing your vision will allow you to miss what's right in front of you. And so we want to save the world, and we want to go to Africa and build houses and do all these things, all these places. But what about the person on your job? What about the people who live in your house? You know, we got to start, like, in our staff meeting, we were talking about, you know, just how to win souls and how to keep them, you know. And I was like, man, what if everybody for the next month just focused on reaching one person and discipling that person? Like, not, Jesus took 12. He didn't try to get 5,000 people, because he can't pour himself into all those people. But if you find one person who's willing to listen to you concerning the things of God and hang out, I tell a couple of guys, I'm like, you need to stick as close to me as possible. And I'm like, man, because not that I'm perfect, but I can say this in confidence, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I know that I'm following Christ. And if you keep following me, I know that Christ is going to get in you. And then if somebody will follow you and listen to you, and that's, we just need to focus, like get laser beam focus. That's what I just feel like God is saying to the people. So increase your focus. Amen. Is there anybody who ever played any team sports in the room? Anybody? Good. So you guys will kind of understand what I'm getting ready to talk about. As I said, I played football from the time I was 6 years old, you know, all the way up, college, professional. But I want to talk about a game when I was in college at UNLV. And we were, you know, playing a top 25 team. We're playing against Wisconsin, and it's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? You're on national TV, and, man, we're fired up. And we play out in the desert. It's in Las Vegas, so it's hot, you know? And we're battling with these guys, and we're not even supposed to be able to play with them, but we're battling. It's a close game, and we come back, and the game is tied up, and we're in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I remember coming out of the game for a timeout and being on the sideline when the offense went back in, because I played defense, and I heard a couple of my teammates talking about what party they was going to go to after the game and what girls they was going to link up with. And I mean, all this stuff that had nothing to do with the game. And in that moment, I felt like, you're not even with us. You're not in the fight. And so the game was tied up. Wisconsin had the ball, and they were driving. You know, it's like 2 minutes left in the game. And one of my teammates got injured. And so that corner went out with injury, and guess who had to come in? The guy who wasn't focused, wasn't ready to play. Because, see, what happens is that when you think that your number will never be called on, you could get lackadaisical. And that can happen in God. We see that in the church all the time. You just show up and leave because you think that you're never going to be called on. But in the critical moment, when a player went down, your number got called. And because you hadn't been focused the whole game, you're scrambling. You're like, what's going on? What's going on? You know, you're not in tune. And so what does Wisconsin do? Attack that guy who just came in the game. Boop, touchdown. And they win the game. And so the point of this story in telling you this is that you got to be ready in season and out of season. Right? Because tonight we're talking about the life of a warrior. And I want to talk about it from this perspective. The life of a warrior, all in. You got to be all in. Somebody say all in. 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 See, in this fight that we're in, it doesn't require a part of you. It requires everything you got. Everything you got. And see, I remember being in practice, and it's hot in Vegas. Sometimes we practice in 115 degree weather. And, you know, that same guy in practice, you ever seen a person in practice, they just look like an all-star? I mean, just a great practice player, you know what I'm saying? But when you get down to the crunch time and the real playing of the game, they just fold. And that's what happened to him, because his mind wasn't focused. See, you don't have to be the starting quarterback or in the game to have an effect on the game. See, when we came off on the sideline, he could have been like, hey, bro, I saw on 3rd and 4, this guy keeps running the same route. See, he could have been paying attention, picking up things that I can't see. Bishop Harris, he talked about perspective. And when you're on the sideline and we're in the game, you have a different perspective than what we have being on the field. And the coaches up in a booth, that's why they put coaches up there, because looking down, it's a different perspective. And he could have been dialed into the game and focused to where he could have helped us to be better. But because he felt like he was insignificant, when his number got called, he actually hurt us. And it doesn't mean that maybe if he was focused, they could have still made the same play. But you give yourself an opportunity for success when you prepare. Success only happens when preparation links up with the opportunity. It's not about one play. It's about daily victories every day that add up to this big success that everybody sees. Everybody sees me up here talking, and they look at people who preach and they think, man, you know, that's exciting, and they get to, but they don't see the preparation. They don't see the laboring. They don't see the prayer. They don't see the fasting. They don't see the things that you're doing just so you can get a word from God. For them. And I'll be honest with you, it's for you too, because God always speaks to you first. He always speaks to you first. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason why I know I'm called to do this, because, man, I love studying. I love it. Man, it's just something different about, you know, when you read your Bible, it's good, you know, when you read every day. But it's something about when you're studying and God's taking you on a journey through the word. And, man, then you got to go to this scripture, and then that takes you there. And then God's like, man, say this. And it's like, man, this is cool. I love to hear the Lord. It's the greatest thing you could ever have in your life, my pastor said, is to be able to master hearing the voice of God. And so today I want to talk about the life of a warrior all in. My wife was talking about, you know, and she gave the definition of what a warrior is. She said a warrior is a person who is engaged or experienced in warfare. Me and my friends, you know, we like to say a person who's dialed in. They're dialed in. I mean, it's on point. They know exactly where they need to be and when they need to be there, and they're dialed in and ready to go. When I think about a warrior and soldiers, what do they need? They need direction, right? You can't just tell soldiers just go out there like they don't know what their purpose is. Like, what's the point? And so I believe that what God has called me to give to you tonight is direction. Something that you can that's practical, that you can use right now. I believe that this generation, they need to understand how the word is practical in their lives. And the job of us who preach the word is to make it so plain, to break it down for them, to see how do I use that. I mean, see, you're talking about David slaying Goliath, but I don't see no 9-foot people in my life that I have to fight. So what is the practicality of that story for today? So what I want to do is, I know the theme scripture is Ephesians chapter 6. I think he had 12 and 13. But I read a little further, and I went verses 10 through 18, and I was in the Message Bible. Anybody ever read from the Message Bible at all? Man, if you haven't, if you're ever reading your King James or your New King James and you're feeling like, man, I just really don't understand what I just read, just go to the Message real quick and just read that, because it really makes it plain. Somebody say, make it plain. You know, I think about Mother Mullen. She said, make it plain, son. Make it plain, son. And it says this in the Message. It says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. So the first thing I want us to recognize, he said, I'm going to give you these weapons, but not just so you can look at them. You got to put them to use. Amen. He says, the word says, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. Somebody say, this is for keeps. This one is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. First thing I want you to understand is you can't live this life by yourself. You can't live this life with a TV pastor. It's not going to work for you. Can I tell the truth, man? I mean, that's good to watch TBN and Daystar and all that, but I'm telling you, that pastor is not going to call you. That pastor is not going to counsel you. Why? Because you're not a part of their congregation. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. You need the body. Take all the help that you can get. Every weapon God has issued. So that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Somebody say, live it out. Walk it out. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. I'm going to break that word indispensable down for you. That word means absolutely, totally necessary, essential, non-negotiable. You got to have it. You have to have it just like you need air to breathe. In the same way, somebody say the same way. See, when you hear that, what that's saying is something else is coming along that's just as important. It pairs up with it, and you got to have them. It's like Pastor Nate talked about. He works on planes, and there's parts that are made for each other. They won't work with any other part. So the second thing I'm about to give you goes with God's word. It says in the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing war. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and your sisters. Once again, as the theme has been saying, say, it's not about me. You got to pray for your brothers and your sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. That's good. That last part about keeping spirits up. I want to encourage you guys, even in your home churches, man, just sometimes even go up to your pastor and tell him, man, great job. Sometimes we think like when somebody has been doing something for a long time, we forget the fact that they still need to be encouraged. We think they got it. Like they've been doing this so long, they ain't worried about if nobody tell them good job or not. But I'm just going to tell you, as long as you live on this earth, you're going to want to be encouraged. You're going to want to know if what you're saying is getting through. You're going to want to know if you're having an impact. And it ain't just by the amens. Sometimes that's just Christianese. Amen is supposed to mean yes, like I'm in agreement. But sometimes, amen, people just say that stuff. Just like people say, I'm sorry. They ain't even think about what they did. It's like a natural reaction. So what I'm saying is encourage your leadership. Encourage your fellow brothers and sisters that are in the church that are using their gifts. Tell them, man, that really blessed me. You don't know how much, like, man, when people tell me, man, that prayer you prayed for me, man, that really blessed me. I'm like, man, then we both got something. Because you telling me that just really blessed me, and I'm looking forward to the next person I get to pray for. Because the reward is not God giving me some money or giving me a car, but the reward is knowing that he actually used me to make a difference in the life of somebody else. And because of that, God will bless me because he loves me and that I'm being obedient to what he's asking me to do. Amen? Amen. So there's three keys that I want to give you tonight in regard to what a warrior needs for war. Okay? Three things I want to give you to prepare you for the war. Amen? For those of you who are note takers, get your pens ready. Number one, to be a warrior,
you have to know what side you're on. Right? The who and the what you are fighting for, you have to be all in. See, I love the way how athletics correlates with the spiritual things of God. Like in my life, maybe it's just because I was an athlete, I see a huge correlation. Like it just works. You know what I'm saying? And when I think about, you know, knowing what side you're on, I thought about that guy on my teammate and I was like, man, he really wasn't with us. He wasn't really a warrior. And see, sometimes people want to act like a soldier or sign up to be a soldier because of the benefits that go along with being a soldier. But in reality, they're just practice players. And in our churches today, there's a lot of people who are playing the part of saint, playing the part of a soldier, but they're practice players. And see, to me, there's a difference between a soldier and a warrior. There's two kind of people that are on the sideline in a football game or any kind of game where there's people who could potentially go in the game to play. There is the person who's saying, man, I can't wait for my opportunity to get in because I want to be the one to make the play. All I need is the opportunity for them to see I could do it. Just give me a shot. And then you got that other person who's like, man, I hope they never call on me. I'm standing in the back. You know what I'm saying? I just want to be forgotten about because they just got on the team so they could travel, so they can have a letterman's jacket, so they could get some girls, so they could be called a jock, but their heart was not in the fight. And this fight that we're in is so for real that you don't have time to have practice players around you because that'll get you killed. See, I want you to understand that in this fight, you have to choose a side. And I want you to understand that whether you make a firm decision or not, you're still choosing. Not making a choice is still making a choice. And in regard to the things of God, not making a choice is saying no to God. Is putting yourself as an enemy of God. There's only two ways to live this life. In disobedience and the unfruitfulness of sin, or obedience and the fruitfulness of righteousness. And you have to make a choice. Mother Mullen prophesied over me in 2004. And she said, the fall and the rise of men will come by the words that you speak. They will either listen and run to Jesus, or they will make a decision to turn away. But after they speak to you, they will have to make a choice. And so I make it my mission to make everybody accountable for the truth. What you do with it is up to you. But it's my job to make sure that you know the truth. And then I can let the Holy Spirit do the rest. We have to begin to trust God to do what we're not able to do. I hear God right now saying to those in leadership, just make sure that you're not giving up on those that you feel like are hopeless. Don't give up on them. He didn't give up on us. Somebody say, it's still time on the clock. Still time on the clock. It's still time on the clock. Jesus hasn't come back yet, which means, man, thank you. Thank God for his grace, his mercy. I thank God he didn't come back yet because I want some more people to get in. Every time I speak, I always hear my pastor in my head. I've just been under him for 11 years, just listening, just studying, just focused on everything that he says. It's like when I go to heaven, I just want bus fulls of people that, man, I helped get there. And you're not going to know until you get there. Because one plants the seed and another waters the seed, but God gives an increase. And that increase, you know, that seed might have got planted in Seattle, and that seed might have got watered in New York, and that seed might grow in Africa. And you never hear about it. But one day you will know that you played your part. Number two, a warrior must be connected with other like-minded warriors. See, when I think about a warrior, I think about somebody like a Navy SEAL. See, they're soldiers, but you're talking about a whole nother level, an elite class of people that have to go through things that normal soldiers don't go through. And they get orders that normal soldiers don't get. They do extreme things. Cold water. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they do. It's like black ops. Some stuff that we don't even get to know about. That's how serious it is. Oh, special forces. Hey, man, that's a good word. Special forces. And see, we come in and we get in the army of the Lord. And we're soldiers, right? But we got to go through boot camp. Man, and that boot camp is tearing some stuff out of you. All that undiscipline, you know, they're breaking you down to where you don't get no sleep, waking you up at the crack of dawn, got you running miles, singing songs while you run, and you're like, why did I sign up? I want to go home. I miss my mama. Why? Because it's a tearing. Because for me to get you from soldier to warrior, I gotta take some stuff out so I could get some stuff in you that makes you ready. Because when you get in a fight, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but when you're in the fight, you don't have time to think anymore. See, when I played a football game, I remember, you know, people asking me, man, bro, is everything's happening so fast. How can you tell what's going on? I'm like, well, to me, everything seems slow. Maybe it's because we're all moving so fast that everything just seems to slow down. Another reason I think it is because, like, when you're unprepared and you're in disarray, life just seems like it's going by fast. Like you just can't, it seemed like you can get no hold on time. It's just flying by because your life is in disarray. But something happens when you get dialed in, when you get order, when your house is in order and your kids is in order and your budget is in order and you press your clothes at night and you prepare your meals and so you don't have to keep spending all your money on food out to eat every day. I'm speaking to somebody. You talking about you ain't got no money. You going out to eat lunch every day. But what I'm saying is you put structure in your life. And when you get structure in your life, things seem to slow down. Why? Because you know what your next step is. And so I'm already ready. You need suitable teammates who can step in and step up when you feel weak or weary. We can go all the way back to Exodus, I believe it was chapter 17, and the Israelites were getting ready to fight, I believe it was the Amalekites, and Joshua was leading the army, and Moses had to go up on top, and he had to hold his hands up. As long as he was holding his hands up, they were winning. But it says that his hands begin to feel heavy like stone, and he couldn't hold them up. And so Aaron and Hur propped him up, and they held his hands up until the fight was won. And so, to me, those are warriors. See, they weren't in the fight, but they knew their role. And see, what I want all of us to understand is that we have a part. We have a role. We could still be a warrior without preaching. We could still be a warrior without being the lead singer or the piano player or anything that people like to glorify. Don't look at that. That's nothing. Only what you do for God will last. Not about impressing men. So don't look at the gift before you. My pastor, he talks about this too. You gotta, don't bless the gift and overlook the character. Because if you do, you're setting yourself up for failure. And see, there's some soldiers that their character's not right. They just want to look like a soldier. They just want to carry the gun. But if you don't know how to shoot that gun, you're going to shoot your own team. You know what I'm saying? There are only two kinds of warriors. There are seasoned and unseasoned. Unseasoned warriors need to connect with the seasoned warriors so that they can gain and receive knowledge of wisdom on how to fight in this war that we're in. Man, when I came to Christ, man, I didn't know nothing about the things of God. Very, very little. And I went to my brother. I was like, man, I don't even have no friends no more. Like, they don't want me around no more because something's happening in me and they don't like it. They don't know how to express it, you know, but it's really the, you know, the conviction of the Spirit of God. But I linked up with my brother, and his parents had trained him up in a way. And, you know, he was able to pour into my life and pray with me. And we used to fast together and just pray. We had jobs where we could be on the phone, and we used to just be on the phone in our trucks just talking all day and praying. And man, thinking about Bible studies and talking about plans of what we want to do to reach people. Man, he was a blessing in my life. And he was a young man, and he got married, you know what I'm saying, at a young age. And I was like, man, look at how God is using him. I want God to use me that way, too. Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so now today, my brother's a pastor, and now I'm up here preaching the word from all the people who have poured. I hung out with some warriors. I hung out with some people that have been in the trenches, that was willing to get dirty with some people, that was willing to come to your house at 3 a.m, willing to come to the hospital when my wife was sick, willing to give us money when we couldn't pay our rent. I've been around some warriors. That's what the body of Christ needs. They don't need somebody playing soldier talking about, I'll pray for you. The time is right now. Don't ever walk away from somebody talking about, I'll pray for you, when you can pray right now. They might not have another minute. That might be it. Give it to them right now. You need to be a part of a God-centered congregation or a local church, because you can't live for God alone. We talked about that. It's a lot of people in this day and age talking about they're living for God. You know, I got my own relationship. I don't need no church. I hear people say that kind of stuff, you know, like, you know, I read my Bible. But they can't get the fullness of the revelation, and they're not, you know, being preached to, being coached, being trained on these things. Some people take the word and they just take a portion of the scripture and screw it all up. And then they saying, that's what the Bible says. And if they would have just read the next line, they would have recognized you got it wrong. You missed the mark. But see, had you been in church and you was going to Bible study, and you could have asked a question about what that means. And if you're saying this is one way, your pastor, I have the opportunity to say, no, son or daughter, that's missing the mark. Let me tell you what this really means. That's the reason why we got to be around the men and women of God, our leaders, around. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. We need each other. Because you know what I found out? What my pastor said, that word that I need from God, God's probably not going to say that directly to me. He's probably going to say it through somebody else. And that's why you got to be there, because you never know what Sunday, what Saturday, what Wednesday, what Thursday, whatever day your church day is, that somebody might give you that word. Don't miss out. Amen. Number three, a warrior needs practical weapons for war. My wife talked a little bit about David. And we know the story, but when he got ready to fight Goliath, Saul was like, here, take this armor, put this armor on. And he put the stuff on, and he was like, man, this just don't feel right. I can't go into no heat of no fight right now with some stuff that I've never tried out. I've never used it. Like, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of the fight is confidence. It's not so much the skill set. There have been a lot of people who were not more talented or more physically equipped that were able to win because they were confident because of their preparation. And so David had to go into the fight with what he had been using, that slingshot. I know how to work that. Man, I can hit the head off of a pencil tip in the back of the room from right here because I've been using that. I killed the lion. I killed the bear with that slingshot. I'm ready. So here are some of the weapons that you need for war. Number one, you got to constantly read the word of God and have the word preached to you. The Bible says to me in Romans 10:17 that faith come by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Somebody say the word. The word. The word will break that yoke off of your life. The word will break that yoke off of your life. Not a new suit to go to church in. The anointing ain't on that suit. The anointing is in the word. Number two, you got to walk by faith. You got to walk by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is simply this: trust. I think about my son. If I tell my son I'm going to do something, he's okay, I believe you, Daddy. He doesn't question it. That's faith. But something happens when we become adults, and maybe it's because we've been hurt by the world and people have let us down. And so we take the things of the world, man's failures, and we cast that light or that shadow on God, and then we begin to view God like we view man. But you have to get to a place where you train your carnal mind to line up to what the word says about the situation that you're dealing with, so that no matter what I see, I know what the word says, and I'm just going to make a decision that I'm going to follow that. The word. So when you're reading the word and the word is being preached to you and you're growing and now you're walking by faith. And it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So now that you're hearing the word, and now that you're being filled up and you're walking by faith, now it's your responsibility to do something with that faith. The battle we fight is not against flesh and blood, but really, the war is in me. You're not going home fighting demons every night by your bedside, but what you're fighting is your mind. You're fighting the fleshly soul that wants to drag you in a direction opposite of what the spirit, where the spirit wants you to go. And that's the great conflict that Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. He's warring within himself. about wanting to do right, but something keeps pulling me the wrong way. And then number three, you have to have a consistent prayer life. Praying to God shows that you have faith, which means simply to trust God. Communication with God is personal and relational. Personal and relational. See, there's a time when you're young in God when you're just always praying for stuff. But as you mature in God, it's like, man, I'm just with you because I just want to be with you. It's not even that I need nothing, man. I need you so that I can just, I need joy today. I need peace today. I want to walk with a smile on my face today. I want to make a difference at my job today. I want to be an atmosphere changer. I want to have a word for somebody. I want to be a fire that gets somebody else turned up. You know what I'm saying? And in order for me to do that, I got to be with you first. Because when I first wake up, I'm tired. I don't feel turned up. I don't feel joyful. I don't feel like smiling. But when I begin to praise God and worship Him and spend time with Him, suddenly I begin to feel energetic. Suddenly I begin like I want to feel like I want to smile. Suddenly I get excited when I think about the divine appointments that are going to come my way today. Suddenly I get excited because I'm going to get to pray for somebody. Suddenly I get excited because I know that somebody's watching my life and basing their perception of God on how I live. And so I know that I'm walking right and they're going to get the right perspective. Pray for your brothers and sisters. We can get so focused on ourselves that we don't think about our brothers and our sisters in war-torn countries that are dying for the name of Jesus. And there will come a time when it's our time to have to face the music, to have to see if we're warriors or just people putting on the uniform. It's not a game. You got to know if you would die for the name of Jesus. That's how real it is. You got to love them so much that you're willing to forsake everybody else who don't want to love them. And it don't mean that you don't love them. But I don't love you more than I love Jesus. And I'm not willing to sacrifice my faith to be cool with you. Because what I learned is, when I came to this life, the people who I thought was cool with me wasn't cool with me no more. They turned their back on me. But everything I lost, God replaced it. He gave me greater. And see, man, I thank God for the fact that He is relational. God in and of Himself is relational. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that tells me you can't live by yourself. He didn't give you all the talents that everybody else has for the simple fact that you're going to need something they could do, which make you have to ask for help or their services or whatever. You're going to have to face relationship at some point. Pray in the Spirit. Holy Ghost power. I like Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit is nice, but I like Holy Ghost. I feel like I got an old school soul. I love the old things. I'm a throwback kind of guy. I like muscle cars and I like shaving stuff. And I just like tools. I like man stuff. You know what I'm saying? The stuff my grandfather was into. I like that kind of stuff. But you got to pray in the Spirit. Why? Because has anybody ever been in a situation where you are in the thick of the fight and you don't know what to say no more? You run out of words. You ever got tired of hearing your own self speak? Man, I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can pray the perfect prayer. All your groans, all your tears, the Holy Spirit can pray. And Jesus is interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. And as you're praying in the Spirit, God is pouring into you everything that you need to equip you for the fight. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I just want to be in the will of God. I just want to do it his way. I want to be, see, there's those kind of sins that we could just look at and you're like, man, that's a sinner. They're just doing wrong. But disobedience is sin. And to become a warrior, it's fine-tuning you to the point where God just might be like, don't watch that show. Don't go there tonight. Don't go to that bowling alley tonight. And you're like, man, it's just bowling. But you look on the news the next day and there was a shooting at the bowling alley. Man, you got to get in tune with the Holy Spirit. It'll save your life. The Holy Ghost, praise perfection, because the Holy Spirit is our paraclete, which means our helper, and he knows how to pray when you don't know what to pray for. Know this about prayer. Prayer brings freedom from fear, strength of soul, guidance and satisfaction, wisdom and understanding, deliverance from harm, rewards and good gifts, fullness of joy, peace, and freedom from anxiety. Prayer changes things. If you haven't been praying, I dare you. I dare you to call on the name of Jesus. I dare you to ask God to meet your need. I dare you to ask God to show you what he wants out of your life. I dare you to give him an opportunity to show you who he is. And number four, you must know how to give God praise. In the Bible times, when they would go to war, they would put the praisers up front, setting the atmosphere. And you hearing them trumpets and them drums and whatever instruments they had, I bet that sounds scary. Before they come over the hill, you just hearing, they just going in like, man, these cats is ready. And whether it was 300 or 300,000, look what she said God did with Gideon. Man, they blew the horns and they smashed. What did they was making a noise that just caused just them to just lose it. It was like, what is that? Confusion. Because God used what they had to confuse the enemy. It is your praise that will help you get a breakthrough. We just had an evangelist come to our church a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about when he was going through some times in his life where he was sick in his body, and man, he got out of the ministry because he had to work a job, and his wife was just depressed, and man, he said he just, one day he just had to sing himself up out of his issues, man, and you know, he would just begin to call out all the things that he was dealing with, but he was liking, God, you're good. And he just sung joy into his life despite what he was facing. And one thing I know about this life that we live, man, we all gonna go through some storms. But there is a level of maturity that you can reach where even when the waves look like a tsunami, you could stay the same. You might not feel the same, but I'm not talking about how you feel. I'm talking about the ability to still do what you got to do day to day. I'm smiling. I'm crying on the inside, but I'm still praising the Lord. Because it's not about you. And it's not about how you feel. And if you're only up when everything's up, then let me tell you something. You're going to live a roller coaster life. And that's a lifestyle that will end up in depression. Because when the enemy knows he got you there, he has you there, you know what he's going to do? Give you a lot more heels and a lot less peaks. Because it's easy to feel good at the top of the mountain. It's hard to praise God in the valley. These things are absolutes. These things are absolute must in the lives of true warriors. Because when you are in a real fight, you operate off of instincts, as I said earlier. There's no time to think. Have you ever seen somebody, what I call, get caught between think and do? You ever seen somebody crossing the street, or you're at a four-way stop and you guys both get there at the same time and you start to go and then they look like they're going to go and then they start to go and then somebody got to, man, just go. Somebody just got to make a decision. Don't get caught between think and do. Want to give you some examples in the Bible of some warriors. Daniel, he was a warrior. He was a warrior. Because do you know that the administrators, they set up a law, a 30-day law under King Darius just to try to trip this guy up because they were like, man, he's gaining too much power. But even with their law, he opened his windows and still just prayed to the Lord. Prayed for his people regardless. That's a warrior, willing to go against the grain, willing to go against what the world is telling you to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, warriors. They said, no, I'm not going to bow down to this statue, even if I have to die. They got thrown in the fire. What happened? The helper came. When you stand up for God, he will stand up for you. Joshua and Caleb, when they were scouting out the land, they're the only ones who came back with a good report. The others, man, they were so fearful. They came back and said they wanted to go back to Egypt where they had been slaves for 400 years. They wanted to go back, where they had to make bricks without straw and all of the bad things that were going on. So afraid to take what God had for them that they'd rather go back to bondage. Don't be that person who wants to run back to bondage. Be a warrior. As I said, there's still time on the clock. Still time to get off the sidelines and into the game. The first step to becoming a warrior is receiving Jesus Christ. It is the beginning of your boot camp. It is the beginning of your preparation. But it's a love relationship that transforms you from the inside out. It's not the outside uniform that makes you a soldier. It's what's on the inside of you. And if there are any of you in this room tonight who may not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, any of you who feel like, you know, man, I want to go to another level in God. Maybe you know the Lord, but it's like, you know, I'm feeling stagnant and, you know, I don't want to be a practice player, but I want to get in the game. Then I want to pray for you. And I believe that as I pray for you, I believe that God will break that yoke off of your life. I believe that if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not even that I believe. I know for a fact that he will come into your heart. Because he did it for me. And I thank Jesus every morning that, man, he died for me. That I'm that special. When I think about what he had to do, man, I couldn't have done that. I'm not doing that for nobody. That was a lot. It's a heavy, heavy, but I don't have to do it. Because it's what he did. If that's you, if you need prayer, man, then like I said, the altar is open. I want to pray for you. I want to help you to be all in. I want to help you to get off the fence. The Bible says, be either hot or cold. But lukewarm, that gets spit out. Being in the middle, that gets spit out. Like you didn't sit in the middle of the aisle tonight. You picked a side. And then sat down. You wasn't like, I'm not feeling either one of these sides, so I'm just going to sit in the aisle. You chose. I'm just saying, if you want to feel what real love is, man.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.